But he says, I have to leave. But when I leave, Father God's going to send the Holy Spirit to be the ambassador to me and God, to be the lifeline to do and continue in what I was doing and I've taught you to do, because you're not alone. The Holy Spirit. Paul did the greatest thing in one of the Corinthians. I don't have it, but I mentioned it last week, where he articulates it. So if we talk Scripture, the word Trinity is not in there, but there is a lot of articulation about it. Paul ends a letter in Corinthians to the church. He says, I pray that you experience God's love. That's God. He is love. He just doesn't give it. He is love. I also pray for the grace that comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So grace, that's what Jesus can provide, that grace. God's providing the love that everything trickles down. And then he says the fellowship of the Holy Spirit between that and brethren around. Fellowship is right now, right here. I know it's a Christianese word, but it's right here, right now. He's fellowshipping. He's with you. He's in you. And that is part of the Trinity. Jesus says at the end, before he's instructing his disciples, go make other disciples, baptize them in the what? Name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are triune things that are here. But we're focusing mainly on our compass today because of this. Could you put that slide up quickly? All right, oh, it didn't make it, so I have to... The Holy Spirit acts as our compass, the guide of our spirit, soul, and with our surroundings. The Holy Spirit is not contained, so it's just me, myself, and I club. It affects your surroundings to God's will, the Bible, and ultimately Jesus, who is the living Word. The living Word. Thank you. In John 16, that we learn who he is. He's the helper, comforter, advocate. Again, your compass, the Holy Spirit. Intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Imagine having, I mean, boy, if we didn't have Christ now, we had people in those individual titles to try and help us. But the Holy Spirit is all this in one. What does he do? We need to remind this. We just said who he is. But one of the primary three things he does, this is still review, and people don't, we can't forget this, but first of all, he convicts the world of sin. Last time I checked, you and I are still in the world. So that means you and I. When Christians forget that the Holy Spirit is here, not to raise roofs, which he will, and we'll talk more about that, but he is at first, the baseline in your life is to convict you of any sin. Not perfection, but sin. Because none of us will ever be perfect. But in Christ, we can do all things because of what he's calling us to do. So he convicts the world of sin. He convicts us of sin. I didn't mention this last week, so this is a little additive. We talked about preachers and people falling and good Christians, like, where'd they go? You know, what's going on with them? And most of the times they've never been reminded that the Holy Spirit daily, when you invite him into your life, he wants to convict you of sin. Conviction and condemnation are two different things. He's not saying, hey, you smoked that cigarette yesterday. Shame on you. See, that's the enemy that puts shame in front of conviction. And people have been lost so much in that. They run further from God when Jesus is saying, wait a minute, my arms are even wider open right now to take you in. To take you in. Dust you off and pick you up. But this is one sin that we have to remember, and I have to too. I'm growing in it. It's the sin of pride. It disguises itself beautifully. Even amongst Christians, there's a Christian pride. I've got 5 more verses memorized more than you do. Look at me. It's Christian pride. It turns into some other things that we'll talk about later down the road. Do not have time right now. But that Christian pride is keeping us away from a dying world sometimes. We're all the pride, gay flags, and all that thing. But we got some pride, too, we got to deal with. Whoa, I didn't get a lot of amens. I'm against that, but I'm just saying, follow me. There's some Christian pride that we need to deal with, that you're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. Jesus talked about pride over and over, that it is a sin. Repent. Come to the place that, and I've had to grow in this too, that I need to understand that I may not know everything. Can we all get there? For some it's hard because pride is the broken bridge that won't let you get there to walk across. That we may not know everything. Thank God for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and it leading to Jesus. But you've got to come to a place that you may not know everything. You may not. Because that alleviates some pride that we're pliable, flexible to be led by the Holy Spirit at any given time. But it's pride. Pride. Like you're the judge of somebody's soul. I won't feel it. Like pride that you're the one that transforms people and not Jesus. Think of these things. They're hard pills to swallow, but you gotta look in the mirror and say, do I have any pride? Because I don't want any pride if I'm going to be serving Jesus. They can't coexist together. Righteousness was the third one. The Holy Spirit helps us remind us that we are the righteousness through Christ. Christ Jesus, the perfect divine human being that was on this earth. His love, His kindness, His compassion, everything that allows Him to sit next to Father God right now in heaven. We can become like that too. Not another God, but we can be more of an image of Christ in us. That same righteousness. That yes, you don't deserve it. Can I tell you that? I don't. But because of what Christ did on the cross, the righteousness, the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Then at the last, quickly, He reminds us that there is judgment. Woo-hoo! But you don't understand. If you're following Christ, you should be excited about judgment. You should. Because when judgment comes, who is He going to see if you're following Christ? There's the Ancient of Days, God the Father, is seeing Christ in you. Yes. Judgment resolves things. That's why most of the world is upset. The earth is groaning for the sons and daughters of Christ to rise because nothing has actually been judged yet other than Satan. Which He reminds us of the Holy Spirit that Satan has been judged. Which means he's someone that's waiting for sentencing. So he's probably a little agitated. And he'll try and agitate your life, but he can't own your life if you're a follower of Christ. Or when you invite him into your life. You should not be scared of any power of darkness. You should not be. Because of the blood of Jesus that covers you and what's been done on the cross for you and whose kingdom you are in. Citizens of an eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. Satan's been judged. He can agitate if you invite him in. Glory, hallelujah. Next thing we talked about is walking in the Spirit. Condensing this down so quickly here because of the time. Walking in the Spirit is so very important. It is surrendering daily your ears and your mouth to the will of God through the Holy Spirit. Where I am in tune. It's like a tuner. I am in tune. I'm not floating on a cloud that I'm so heavenly minded I'm earthly useless. But I am tuned in to hear at the Starbucks, at Dunkin' Donuts, at wherever. What is going on around me that I can be an opportunity to build kingdom? Kind of like Craig was talking about. You can do that even without holding your Bible. You can do that. You can be in tune, walking in the Spirit. He's your compass. How do we get the Holy Spirit? We've talked about this too. How? Because if we believe you've surrendered your life to Christ, and I'm very intentional, surrendered your life to Christ, that's an ongoing thing. You don't just come and say, this is it, but your heart is open to surrender everything to Christ. When you do that, the Holy Spirit is sealed and stamped in your heart. We've talked about the difference quickly about salvation and discipleship. The Western Church has kind of merged it together maybe to just say, and we have to say, here's everything that you need. But when I surrender my life to Christ, that's a beginning of something. But many of us, like I said, it's a gift from God. Paul talks about through grace, your faith extends out to receive salvation and surrender your life to Jesus because He died on the cross for your sins. But many of us is taking the gift of salvation and put it on the table. And their coffee in the morning. I'm saved. Woohoo! And go out the door. And have never let the Holy Spirit begin to unwrap it. Unwrap this beautiful gift. And you know what's in that gift? It's not a trick question. It's Jesus. Knowing Him more. At the end of every day, you should know Jesus more. The Holy Spirit is the unwrapper in that through our salvation. The compass, again, and then we'll get into new stuff a little bit here. The compass is your daily coordinates on where you are versus what the written word is saying you should be versus what's leading to the living word, which is your final destination. Without a compass, and you read the Bible, it's nice. You get some good things in it, but it's never reading your mail, so to speak. It's never saying, well, this is where you are right now. And that compass in life, let's go climb Mount Washington. Let's go somewhere. It's nice to have the map, but if I don't have a compass, I don't know where I am right now as it relates to the map. You need your compass. You need, nowadays, certainly in our phones, we have GPS, which is our compass, and a map together. So we've kind of known that it's all one thing. Everybody remember the AAA trip maps or whatever? They send this, I gotta dial the phone or rotary. Hey, I'm going to Florida next week. I need a map. And they send it to you. And you guys get all excited. We get on the tables like, here is our journey. It just says go straight. Oh, I should have learned that. But remember those days? Oh my goodness. How far have we come? But the Bible is the map. Holy Spirit is the compass. Today we'll see where we go. We're going to go a little bit over. And I'm not even asking. All right. Holy Spirit helps us. We're going to talk three parts today quickly. The Holy Spirit helps us become more as a like a disciple. More like a disciple. Again, salvation and discipleship. Salvation is the gift that you pick up and unwrap, and it's your eternity and everything in there. But he's expecting you to go also on the journey of discipleship to become more like Christ. The Holy Spirit will help you. You see, when you decide to become a disciple, it's not somebody giving you information and you running with it. Yes, we're speaking words, right? We're speaking words, and we read the written word, and we're speaking these things. But it's only the Holy Spirit that helps transforms these words into your heart to transform your life. Otherwise, this is just a good philosophy course we could go into, and I'm just exchanging you a whole bunch of information. But when you decide to be a disciple, the information you're getting and the teachings you're learning should be transforming what you're doing today and tomorrow, because it's a living word that's in, you're getting a living word. It should help you in the discipleship of that. Let's go to Acts. Oh, the book of Acts. May we live it. Acts 1:8. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. But you will receive power. So he's leaving to go up to heaven, Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you. And you will be my, you will feel good, shout, run around the room. Try out for the Olympics. Those are all good things, but it's not what he's saying right now. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit is going to come for you. So you will be what? Witnesses. Witnesses. Witnesses means disciples in the same manner. Yeah, but Pastor Chris, this is a lot. This really is a lot. Well, it is a lot it can do in your life too. Absolutely. It's a lot. Let's look at Matthew 6:33, the Amplified Version. We know this, but we need to be reminded of this, of our priorities in our lives. But seek, I like the Amplified with the parentheses, seek, aim at, and strive after. Seek. Do you know there's that, you've all heard that saying, if you have no directions in life, 100% of the time you will arrive there. Think of that. Because I have no direction. I'm going to be wherever I am at any time. But seek, aim, and strive after for all of his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Other translation says all your needs will be met. All your needs will be met. When you seek his kingdom, he will provide. He will provide anything you need. Yeah, Pastor, I didn't grow up with a dad. It was abusive. The Holy Spirit will provide, through God, love as a father to you. Pastor Chris, I'm financially broke. The Holy Spirit will provide for you to give you direction of how to have increase in your life. Not to fly a private jet, but how to have increase in your life. Right? It's a whole compass, but we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Let's talk about filling of the Spirit. We could camp here quite a bit. So I've received the Holy Spirit when I've surrendered my life to God. He is my compass of my life. Let's go how Paul talked about in Ephesians 1:13 through 14 about this moment. In him, you also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in the inherent to rely on him, were stamped and with sealed of the long promising of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like an inheritance given to you by Abba Father. Not just to navigate through this life, but to give you a taste of what's to come. His presence that comes from the Holy Spirit we experienced earlier. Then that we can just, that should wreck you at times going further. The Holy Spirit is an inheritance by Abba Father to tell you that the promises he made were true and then the future will be made true. Acts 2:4. So this is when we first get a glimpse, and many of us know this, of the Holy Spirit hitting planet Earth after Jesus went up to heaven. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're in the upper room. If you remember, Jesus said, all right, I'm going up. I need you to go to Jerusalem. I need you to go to the upper room. And I don't need you to start your international ministry yet. I just need you to wait in that room. Don't do anything. Just wait. Your church folks, we're just going to wait. That's Jesus' instructions. And then this jumps in. Then they were all filled because they were waiting in this upper room with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Keep going. Did I give you another one? Okay, that's all right. We can camp there because I'm going to move things along here. So this is where the power of God was exhibited, that the Holy Spirit came and they began to speak in tongues. Let's keep walking this out. Acts 2:22-42. So we're continuing in this scene. Fellow Israelites. So this is what happens. So Paul, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in other tongues. And people passing by this upper room in the morning, we are told, are saying, what is going on up there? They're speaking, some of them were languages that they knew that were foreign to this area. They're speaking languages that, wait a minute, I'm hearing things. So there's a crowd that becomes to come around, may someday be a crowd outside more than in here when the Holy Spirit falls. So Peter's coming out. He's saying, after they've been up there, fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This is the first Holy Ghost preached message, by the way, in the Bible. So I think we can learn a lot from this. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourself know. So he's talking about Jesus. Keep going. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill them. If Peter's trying to start a church, that's not a good way to start. Pastors, if we're trying to start, but that's the right way to start if we need to convict people of things. Lawless people, continue. God raised him up. We're going to celebrate that soon. Ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by death. Thank you, Jesus. Continue. For David says of this, I saw the Lord. This is a prophecy of King David years and years prior. I saw the Lord even before him because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Keep going. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. You need to claim that on, put that on your refrigerator. Moreover, my flesh needs to rest in hope. because you will not abandon me in Hades or allow your Holy One to see decay. This is Jesus going down to hell, to Hades. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You will fill me with gladness in your presence. Keep going. Brothers and sisters, I can confidently speak to you about the patronage of David. So again, these are people that just heard them speaking in their languages. They don't know what's going on in that upper room. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Continue. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne. We know that to be Jesus. Seeing what has to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. So Peter's trying to explain, like, listen, the guy we just crucified, he's up in heaven now, and he is actually the Lord of lords and King of kings, just not maybe of the arena you thought he would be in. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of Messiah. He was not abandoned in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. Keep going, because Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus. He could attest to this. God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God, we said that earlier up in heaven, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. That was the upper room. That was the Father pouring out the Holy Spirit down in Jerusalem in that upper room. Keep going. For it was not David who ascended into the heavens. Again, we're taking these monarchs away, saying it's only Jesus to many of the Jews and Gentiles. But he himself says, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand, that's Jesus now, until I make your enemies your footstools. Keep going. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Keep going. When they heard this, so the message went out. A non-watered-down message. He wasn't looking for a lot of amens in this message. First Holy Spirit-filled message by Peter. And said to Peter, he says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should I do? Let us come to that point where people are around us. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit to preach truth in the darkness of confusion, that people have to respond and say, what must I do to have this Savior you're talking about? Keep going. Peter replied, say five Hail Marys and bend on your knee and say five prayers that have already pre-printed out. I love you guys, but I'm just saying what's here. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift, keep going. For the promises is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. So this extends. Mom and dads, if you've been praying for your kids, this word goes beyond, this truth goes beyond even just your mouth to reach those for Christ in your family. It goes far and all far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Last verse, with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, be saved from this corrupt generation. That is the first Holy Ghost preached message documented in the Word of God. He said, repent. He didn't say, do you want to go to heaven? If you don't come back next week, I'm sorry. He said, repent. And then the church started growing from there that we know today. He said, repent. The filling of the Holy Spirit is so important because it allows you, when you begin to move space out of other things in your life, then he can fill you. Because when he's filling you, that's where power really begins to exhibit itself in and through you. This is what will separate many different churches. We're not the perfect church. But I do know this truth by the scriptures, that churches that are filled with the Holy Spirit are going to be impacting a darker world out there than churches that are not. Because they're going to sit in their pews, and I'm being sarcastic with pews, but they're going to sit and they're going to re-evangelize themselves over and over again, and nothing's changing and there's no power. And they're wondering, God, where are you? It split denominations up early on. It's done many different things about being filled with the Spirit or not. If you jump in the ocean, do you know you're in the ocean? I would say if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the baptism, the Greek word baptism is a covering. You're being covered in something. You're being covered in things. Real quick, you don't need to put it up. Ephesians 5:18, and Paul said this too. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. He's comparing the two because, I'm not glorifying alcohol, please. Pastor Chris, you hear what he said? They both have influences on your life. Alcoholism will influence your life. It absolutely would. Just talk to families, we go around this room. My family too. We could go around the room. It's a cancer. It influences that life to never have the full potential of what Christ designed in them. But there's a forgiving God that wants to break sin and get them out of that and break chains. So Paul's comparing influences to getting drunk and influences to that the Holy Spirit influence you daily. Being filled, being filled, being filled. Paul, Apostle Paul, after his, some of us want these big road Damascuses things in our life, which we do need at times. But what happened to Paul after the road to Damascus? When Jesus showed up, he was going to kill Christians, and Jesus showed up. He didn't keep going anywhere. He went to go become a disciple and learn and grow more in Asia Minor, in those areas. And one of the things that needed to happen, because he was blinded by the light, Jesus told him in that road to Damascus, I need you to go find Ananias, because he's going to open your eyes. But it's not Ananias opening your eyes. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul needed this. Jesus needed it. Acts 19:17. I know I'm talking quick because I'm trying to move things along. I'm so sorry. Go. Ananias went and entered the house. So this is where Paul is. He found him. He placed his hands on Paul and said, Brother Saul, which was converting into Paul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you. Ananias didn't get a brochure ahead of time. He was led by the Holy Spirit too. He said, he put on hands of Brother Saul, Lord, who appeared to you, again, Jesus, on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul needed it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I understand some of you may be new to following Christ, or you're on the edge, and that's fine. Everybody's somewhere in some of this. All I could ask you, if you're uncomfortable today, come back next Sunday. If you're uncomfortable next Sunday, come back the following Sunday. God will meet you where you are. He will absolutely, because He loves you so very much. So very much. Because this can sound like, oh my gosh, if some of this is new, but it's so truthful that it can set you free and be in the Father's will of many things to come. Many things to come. Let's talk about fruits and gifts. Not fruits and nuts, fruits and gifts. If you're being filled by the Holy Spirit, you should have some fruits in your life. See, we set that aside, but that is the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If He is living in you, you should be living, not perfectly, but you should be at least producing something. Galatians 5:19-24. Can we put that up? Most of us know this very well. Galatians 15. Now the work of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity. So these are things of the worldly things that your flesh is being attracted to. Keep going. Idolatry, sorceries, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst, and anger, selfish ambition, dissension, let's just say sin. Keep going. Envy, drunkenness, cowardness, and anything similar. I am warning you, this is Paul talking to a church in Galatia, I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice, mean it's a commonality in your life. that is slowly controlling you that you may not realize. That those who practice, go back, those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll be nice there. Let's keep going. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's what shows that you're filled by the Spirit working in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not a coincidence that it starts with love, because that's what everybody needs, whether you like it or not. You need love. You were designed to need love. That's why God designed you, because He is love. You need love, and the people around you need love, even if you think they don't deserve it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You should be pouring this out. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Must have been subconscious there. And self-control. The law is not against any such things. If you're operating in the filling of the Holy Spirit and these are producing in your life, the things that would normally disrupt other people's lives because they're anchored in different things will not disrupt your life. But they're produced not to hold on to. Say, look at my love. He used to do juggling. You know, look at my peace. They're not just here to keep to yourselves. Because if you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see, you're going to be giving that out. There's so much somebody could do. Sarcasm. I think I already did some. But there's so much somebody can do that I'm going to have, when all hell's breaking loose, I'm going to have a Zen moment. That will never satisfy you more than the peace that passes all understanding, having the Holy Spirit in you. But the world can sell that. Self-control. I'm under control. Let the Holy Spirit control you when you're losing control. Let's talk about gifts. Most of the church loves operating in the gifts, and they are divine. But most of the people, a few people operating in the gifts have never had the fruits growing in their life to begin with. You need the fruits to grow before the gifts really showcase well in God's will. So you've had churches run around that have no fruit of the Spirit that is producing things, love, joy, peace, patience, all these stuff, and they're just operating in a gift. And that gift is ordained and anointed, but it can only last so far before you have to sustain your own gift, because God didn't get fruits to produce in you through the Holy Spirit to sustain moments that you need to be in to actually shed the light in the darkened world. Does that make sense? So you have everybody doing this. It's like, wait a minute, this is looking like howdy-doody times, and nobody's caring about anything because they're not grounded, because they're not producing fruit. Let's learn about the gifts here. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. These are messages in with themselves. I apologize we're going through these quickly, but this is the only time we have. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. We need to remember that as Christ followers. Keep going. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. Keep going. There are different activities, but guess what? The same God works all of them in each person. Each person. Keep going. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Keep going. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. Meaning you have divine wisdom that can help people in situations. Spirit to one, a message of knowledge, a word of knowledge. If you're filled by the Spirit, again, there's a trajectory, there's a block here. I've received, Christ is in my life, surrendered my life. The Holy Spirit is stamped in my life. I'm beginning to be filled in my life by the Holy Spirit. Then the fruit is producing in my life, to me and everybody around, can be evident. Now these things are beginning to operate in my life. To another message is the message of knowledge, wisdom, knowledge. I can speak. I've had people come to me. I've been away at some point in a Christ-following event where somebody's come up to me and spoken a word. They knew nothing about me, but it helped me in a decision I had to make the next day. God's at work. He wants to bring people to you, and you may be part of that vessel. A message of knowledge by the same Spirit. Keep going. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, I want to stop at faith. There's three parts of faith. A response. You made that hopefully first response to receive Christ into your life, to surrender Him. That's a response in faith. Grace came in. I'm extending my faith that there is a God. He does love me. I'm repenting of my sins, and we're moving in this thing called walking in faith. That's a response. Then there's an authority of faith, three parts. We're allowed to speak life into bad situations. We are. Jesus said that when he left. It's not some God mentality. It's what it is. But it takes faith to do that, to speak life to something that might be dying. That takes faith. Not in the promises, but in who authors the promises. And then there's the unity of the faith, because we need to have a lot more of that. Unity of the faith, the brother and the knowledge. Faith by the same Spirit. It could mean somebody has great faith. I don't know if he was a pastor, but George Mueller ran a big orphanage. And he came to a point where he believed his faith was so great that he never publicly mentioned what he needed at the orphanage. That takes faith. But God always was faithful in that. But God was always faithful. Having faith and closing your eyes driving down 95 is not faith. That's not great faith. That's ignorance. To another, gift is healing. Some people are gifted to really pinpoint what's going on in somebody's sickness and bring life to that of healing in one's lives. Many of you can testify to that. Keep going. To another, the performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. And we got a lot of that going on. When you're listening to prophecy, this is Pastor Chris's opinion. When you're listening to prophecy, especially on YouTube or wherever, look where they're at in their surroundings. Are they in their car? If it's a prophet that probably has credibility, he's in front of many to pronounce what he's doing or she is doing, thank God. So look at the proximity when people prophesy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. So important nowadays. There could be good things sounding good, but they're heading in an opposite direction of what God's will is. To another, kinds of tongues, where we can speak in tongues. Can I scare you for a minute? Soto tavara karasita tavara soto koro soto tavara karasito soto tavara karasata. That's speaking in tongues. There's power in that. Sounds a little whoa for some, but there's power in that. I would encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to give you tongues as a gift, because it can edify you and pray things that you don't know how to pray sometimes. But the Holy Spirit is there as your advocate, counselor, comforter, to help you pray in those situations. Then there's interpretations of tongues, where somebody's hearing what I just said, and who can interpret saying, I'm looking for Chick-fil-A, but they're not open on a Sunday. That's not what I said. Keep going. And the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills. Each and every one of you have a gifting in all these areas if you surrender and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, will I not see Jesus if I don't get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not God, but you've received the gift of salvation, haven't you? But do you want to operate in power and everything else that comes along with it and to defeat hell's gate? A church is that's walking in the Spirit, so we have spiritual gifts. That's what that is. Oh, boy. All right, we'll land the plane a little bit here. We have to be very careful, too, that the fruits of the Spirit that are producing in our lives and the gifts that can come through our lives, if you look scripturally with the gifts, most of the apostles, even Jesus, didn't do it in a church. They went out. The Western Christianity, I believe it's the Holy Spirit thinking, I can lay hands on somebody and they'll fall down. But we've believed too much in formulas that if that doesn't happen, it's not the Holy Spirit. And shame on us. Forgive us. What I'm saying is, what did Peter do? Imagine when the Holy Spirit dropped in the upper room. They just hung out there for days. They went out. Some of the miracles that God wants to use is not going to be in this room. It's going to be in your life on a Monday through Saturday. That's biblical. This is all they did. I mean, they will happen here. Things will happen as we continue to expect and surrender. But things are waiting to happen out there. When you speak faith, when you have these gifts going, whatever you do, and God meets you because you're on a limb and you're sawing it off at this point, and it's only got to be God. That's where these miracles and everything are going to begin to happen, because there's a dying world out there. I don't need to re-evangelize how much God loves you, I hope. I mean, we talk about we need to be encouraged in that, but you already know that. There's many ministries that have took on the Vegas thing of whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and whatever happens in the church should stay in the church. No, it should blow the doors off into the community around us. It's waiting. But we listen to fear, we listen to different things, because somebody might need your prayers for something, and you've walked right by. I've been there too. I'm not perfect at this. But I know, looking at Scripture, most of these gifts and everything going on, it was happening outside more than in here. And we need to be careful about that. Fortunately, I don't have time to be more sarcastic right now. But we need to be careful about that. We really do. Because then we continue to have church and not be the church, right? And God, the bride, we're not that bride. We don't want to be Him coming for, we want Him coming from a spotless bride doing His will daily in that. I would encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit, that compass, daily. I know we've been saying that. But don't forget, that's more important than your coffee. It's a lot for me to say that. It is. Invite the Holy Spirit daily. And then listen throughout the day, because He wants to guide you. And being filled by the Holy Spirit is just simply, it's not a thunderbolt that comes down from high. It could, maybe, but typically, it's just you beginning to remove things in your heart that aren't from God, and giving a bigger space for the Holy Spirit to reside in you daily. And then He will begin to fill you. He will begin to fill you. He will give you the power. He will give you what you need, not for your international ministry, but for His glory to be done at any point in your life. Too many people, the internet, and they're giving gifts, and God doesn't pull back those gifts. It's scriptural and not Ephesians. But many of us are being defined by our gift more than what the giver that gave it to the gift. So we've got to be very careful with all this. But it's real. Man, it's real. When I just pray that the Holy Spirit inhabits you daily and fills you up daily. The things that you're worried about are just temporal, most likely. These are eternal things that we're talking about. And when you begin to talk to somebody or pray to somebody or just think in a different way like Jesus would think, you'd be surprised how it begins to allow God to actually do things for you in your life. And then He begins to trust you. We don't talk about that much. We trust You, Lord. And that's true. We need to trust Him. But what about God trusting you? That's when heaven and earth collide and things start happening. Whew. Let's stand. I felt like I was yelling today. I apologize. When I do, it's just the passion of knowing that, man, I wish I would have known this about 10 years ago. You know, because we can grow in it now. He meets us where we're at. He meets us where we're at. I know it, the hour's 19 minutes past, and I just lost you got distracted when I said that probably. But I don't want to finish just yet, because I really feel in this moment, even though we don't have music, and there'll be music in a minute, I want to give an opportunity. You shouldn't have to think too much. For those that say, Pastor, I've listened to the Compass 1, the Compass 2, I've listened to other messages that our great pastors have preached about the Holy Spirit, and knowing that maybe I have not given enough space for Him to work in my life. You're saved. You've received the gift of salvation. And you've been stamped and fulfilled that the Holy Spirit's in you. That's not the question. question is you moving some things out to just say, I want to give you more space to work. He will never violate you, your will, or anything else. But he will come in when you invite him. He's waiting for invitations.